This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
That's exactly who you got today. John Lopez, Reggie Atatula. It's Byron Matthews filling in for our guy Figgy Fig. Out with the tummy ache.
A little bit.
Not quite. He's food poisoning, so it's a little bit more than a tummy ache, to be completely honest. But yeah. Thoughts and prayers to our guy.
His wife did it, by the way.
What are you doing?
Well, I mean, that's been speculated.
Him, in fact, that food poisoning happened because of his lovely wife. But yeah, he's out today. But Byron's been holding it down. Appreciate you. And just to let you know, mixtape's coming up about 20 minutes. He left us with a little something. It's not going to quite be like Friday because I don't think he recorded anything. I don't think he foresaw his illness, but he did leave us
good
stuff, so we'll dig into that here shortly. Just want to remind you a few things. Aziz Alshire didn't practice, neither did Toa Toa, which was interesting after practicing yesterday, dealing with kind of concussion protocol. And then what did I have that was back at practice? Steven Sims and Robert Woods back at practice as well. So they're
interesting one being Toa Toa, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Like, because it seemed like, hey, maybe you're progressing to where he's out of the protocol. And I don't know. Like, I don't recall all of the steps to get out of the protocol because, but it felt like you were maybe starting to see what could possibly lead to him being back. It could also be this, that he is beginning the steps to, like, get out there for the protocol for Thursday, knowing that you're not going to have a lot of practices in the short week in between Sunday and Thursday.
Yeah, I think that could be part of it. I think part of it also could be, it is protocol for a reason. You have to kind of evaluate as every step. So maybe they're just sort of like, hey, take it easy today. See how you feel. Maybe, whatever. But I think it's got game time decision written all over it.
Yeah, that does feel like.
Yeah.
But I mean, Devin White still practicing. That adds some level of depth to the Hewitt and Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen situation, which, by the way, Neville Hewitt will be on with the drive about 12:15. So you want to keep it locked right here to Sports Radio 610. All right. Around the NFL, there has been, not that we're doing around the NFL, we did that earlier, but around the NFL, there's been kind of some interesting trends that's happening, especially going towards the running back. And so, I think this really has been highlighted for me. Monday I went out with Sean. We were hanging out at Legacy Cigar Lounge in Stafford and, just talking ball as you do. And one of the things that kind of was apparent to both of us that we were real interested in is just how many of these older veteran running backs are thriving. And Bill Barnwell actually, interestingly enough, wrote a piece about this today about some of the guys like Saquon and Derrick Henry who have thrived and how they've done it, which is, with the gravity of a quarterback who can run and, with other things that's happening. Joe Mixon is obviously one of those guys that's a veteran running back.
Yeah.
Some teams have kind of decided the value that they have, that they see in a veteran running back, where they don't want to give them that extra contract. And there's other teams like the Texans, like the Ravens, like the Eagles that are like, no, we'll pay that because we're going to get value out of it. And that has led to some of the better teams in this league, maybe not specifically that, but some of the better teams in this league are really, part of their identity is running the football. The Kansas City Chiefs, what they're doing right now, it's easy to go, well, Patrick Mahomes is there and that's what they're doing. It's been defense and running the football for them. They have put up, they've had rushes for 184, 139, 101, 128, and 149 respectively in their last five games.
That is, well, go through the others, because if what I'm looking at is when you look at the top of the rushing charts, these are all guys that have kind of bucked the presumed norm of, once you get into 28, it's undefeated. And I've said that, and it is, like running backs hit a wall at some point in their career. But that doesn't mean that younger running backs that aren't to that wall yet aren't worthy of another contract. So I love it because I think it's sort of dispelling all those myths about running backs that were, let's be honest, far too prevalent. It was almost like an excuse not to give a running back another contract when clearly they could have played another 1, 2, 3 years or whatever. So I'm glad about that. Now, I think running backs now with this template, with Derrick Henry and Joe Mixon and just go down the list.
Saquon. Those are kind of the major ones. Josh Jacobs is another one.
Josh Jacobs, who's been
a little below average in Green Bay, but I don't know that he's getting
effective.
Explosive plays though.
Yeah.
And so they've gotten something out of that. But I mean, even just looking at, without even looking at the individual running backs, I think that's been
just the running game, like you're talking about.
But the running game itself, right? The Vikings and the Lions also, right? When we talk about being great teams in the NFC, they also add that, particularly the Lions with that, you know, David Montgomery and then Swift as well. They've done a lot of, and then of course, as I mentioned, the Ravens have been like the best team in football. And that's behind kind of that two man running capability of clearly Lamar Jackson and then obviously Derrick Henry. And so with all of that, like seeing how prevalent run game has been, especially for elite teams, I know that, like, you know, Bobby Slowick wants to be able to run the football. Is it possible that this is kind of what's driving that desire to run the football for the Texans?
I think that and D'Amico Ryans. I think the fact that, you know, D'Amico, a defensive minded coach, you know, no matter how progressive you think you are, if you're, you know, your DNA as a defensive minded coach is control the game, assert your dominance, you know, and that means defense and running the ball. Like I know D'Amico loves the big plays and the explosive plays and Nico Collins and down the list, but in his DNA, these defensive minded coaches, especially, they want, you know, to shut you down and to run the ball down your throat. And so I think that's part of it as well. Slowick is built that way. San Francisco, you know, the whole Shanahan-Kubiak thing, it is an incredibly innovative, you know, passing scheme, but they run the ball like crazy, that scheme. It's kind of a misconception. Hey, West Coast offense and this and that. Nah, they love to run the ball. And so I think that's part of it as well.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Mixon is actually, if you look at certain things, like I was surprised to see that Joe Mixon he's like ninth right now in yards before contact. And I do wonder how much of that is just like zone blocking scheme where you're just kind of waiting to see a seam and then hit it so that maybe you're not going to have as much contact before.
Yeah.
And then it's very different, Joe Mixon versus the rest of the Houston running backs. Like his success rate is just different than everybody else's. But with all that being the case, it's like I understand the draw to want to run the football, but it feels weird to then have this kind of template that's happening with a lot of these teams where they're running the football very well, playing defense, but then looking at the way that you've built this team passing wise. And I know offensive line, if they're on their game, this looks a little bit different, but to then kind of have this be really run dominant, really defensive heavy, it feels like while you're having that happen, it's still not quite it's not quite what you want ultimately.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the path of victory here. Does this represent a little bit of a challenge for this team? Like, even if the offensive line gets going, that push and pull between wanting to run the football and wanting to, you know, be able to air it out and CJ's desire to want to kind of take deep shots, are those in any ways at odds for you?
No, not really. And the reason
Jameer Gibbs. I did say Swift. It was Gibbs.
Yeah, Jameer Gibbs. Yeah. But not really, because getting back to the West Coast offense thing, most effective down the field is on play action. I mean, play action is what breaks, first of all, gets you man-to-man coverage a lot of times, gives your receivers a chance to break those plays a little more wide open, get open a little easier. And then, you know, the fact that you have, and this is why D'Amico Ryans is always, and not just D'Amico Ryans, all of us are a little bit frustrated with being in third and long. Because then all of a sudden you are absolutely going to pass, maybe some zone, maybe some complex coverages that are harder to beat. No, I think, you know, if the Texans can run the ball better, and this is obviously not counting Joe Mixon, then the passing game is going to be that much better, I feel.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that then highlights one of the issues that we've had with Bobby Slowick and their play calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is how predictable it has been and how the lack of effectiveness on first and second down. I mean, they have been 22nd, I believe, when it comes to first down rushing success. That's not nearly good
enough. Can't do it, yeah.
And that's put them in third and down, third and longs, third and mediums, where the offense has actually been 8 for 27 there on third down in those situations. It's not
8 for 27.
it's not been good in that regard. And so, like, I think that some of that, and again, a lot of this comes back to offensive line, right? Running on first down isn't a problem if you're picking up big chunks, right? The, you mentioned the Niners. The Niners hardly get third downs at all while rushing the football. But with that being the case, like, the way that they're running the football, where it's not – it's not consistently picking up 5 yards at a time or what have you. It is, you know, 2 yards, no yards,
30.
Whatever. And then 30, right? And then the big jump. Like, how much – it feels like it's really important to kind of vary the way that they're handling this. Even though you want to run the football, I think they need to run the football a little bit, not necessarily less, but a little bit more – sporadic is the wrong word.
Chunky.
Intermittently.
A little chunky.
Yeah.
Not chunk plays as in 30, but chunk plays as in 6 and 8. The Lions do it perfectly. Like, the Lions have the perfect balance. They have the two running backs. They can get 6 or 8 yards on first down, and then all of a sudden everything's wide open. But the Texans can't do that. I mean, that's as big of an issue with the offensive line. We can talk about, you know, the franchise and how important it is to protect C.J. Stroud. But the biggest thing of all is to be able to consistently run the ball for, you know, 4, 5, 6 yards. And then go get and then protect the passer as well. It's funny. It always comes back down to how this offensive line is playing, because you can have that chunk play, that 30 yarder. That's not going to help you on three other series. You know, there are going to be 2 or 3 other series where you're 3rd and 7.
Yeah. So I just found that to be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
We're looking at a trend where there's a lot of NFL running backs and a lot of teams that are running the ball well at the very top. And the Texans aren't on that same level, even though Joe Mixon himself has been very good. And so I'm like trying to find a way to make those things jive, because it feels like when they are going well, this team could be alongside those. But I also, until you get there has to be some level of balance.
You have to have another running back consistently produce too.
That is also a good point.
I mean, Damian Pierce, we've seen glimpses, but I just mentioned, you know, the Lions have it down to a science, and clearly they're the outlier. They're at the top of the game right now. But if you can't, Damian Pierce is in. Oh no, you know, I hope he gets 2 yards. That's a big problem for this offense, and that's every, you know, other series of downs. All of a sudden, it makes it more difficult on yourself.
It's a yard and a half difference per attempt.
Yeah,
from Joe Mixon to the rest of the running backs in this core. Yeah, and then I mean, rush yards over expected. Joe Mixon significantly more rush yards than expected. Mm-hmm. Rest of the running backs, 30 yards less than expected.
Yeah, like, see, that's the issue.
It is a big one. So, it'll be interesting to see as we continue going, watching the way that this line works. But then also, Bobby Slowick and his decision-making on when they decide to run the football, especially at this time period where it feels like it's Joe Mixon or it's nothing.
I am glad, though, that this trend is obvious. And you know, you mentioned Barnwell wrote that. It's been common theme across the NFL, passing down for the most part, et cetera. I am glad, just because I think running backs have been vastly underpaid for a long time. I think they're going to start to get paid now. You know, the fact that you've seen these enormous success stories in Saquon and Derrick Henry, and maybe a lesser degree Joe Mixon and Josh Jacobs, I think more people are going to, you know, the old copycat league thing, they're going to be like, hey, we could use one of those guys, and they can go ahead and pay him.
Yeah, I can see them. Some of them getting paid a little bit more frequently. I don't know that it's going to be a full shift, because I think there's also still acknowledgement that for running backs, you can still get a lot of value and replacement level. This is one of those things where we're talking about the elite of those veteran running backs. And I know somebody was like, "Hey, man, Saquon is 27. We're calling him old. He's
running back years.
That's how the running backs look, man. Yeah. Paying that second contract is one of those things that people shy away from when it comes to these running backs still. Mm-hmm. And maybe the third contract is really the biggest one. But yeah, people are still shying away from some of these guys in a way that it's kind of odd to see. But you're seeing some teams, including the Texans, reap the benefit. Can you imagine if the Texans were not in this group of teams that had been like, no, we'll take that veteran running back and believe that he still has it?
Yeah.
Because this team without Joe Mixon.
Oh, what a mess. What a mess. It would be, I mean, think about the games that they've won. It's been Joe Mixon. It's been Joe Mixon.
It's been a lot of Joe Mixon.
No, obviously CJ does his deal.
CJ, Joe Mixon, the law firm of Mixon, Stroud, and Collins.
Yeah.
That's been a lot of it. Oh, yeah. Of course, not to neglect the defense that have also done quite a bit. And then, you know, obviously a junior partnering Fairbairn as well.
That's right.
Or Fairbairn, if you are Kevin Harlan. So, yeah. Shout out to these Texans, where at least one thing I feel comfortable about, and again, I might be jinxing myself, this Colts game does not present as much of a challenge as some of these other ones, even though I guess you could look at it and say you did all that running. You ultimately were like a two-point game, if I remember correctly, in week one.
And they've got Buck back.
Yeah. DeForest Buckner, if you are unfamiliar with who Buck is. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's typically where we turn it over to Figgy, except Figgy ain't here. Figgy is sick. However, Figgy left a little work for us. We'll talk about the top 10 mispronounced words that make you sound dumb and what career would you avoid, even for double pay. All of that we'll discuss next on Sports Radio 610.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, indeed, it is Figgy's Mixtape right here in the loop on Sports Radio 610.
How about that?
I am not.
That was good.
Figgy Fig. I am Reginald Atatula. You got John Lopez, Byron Matthews hanging out with us on the day. Figgy Fig. A little food poisoning. Mm-hmm. Say what's up to the man. Make sure that he knows that you love and appreciate his work, because we sure do in this mixtape.
And you might more after the segment.
Yeah, you might. Yeah, you might love and appreciate it a lot more, as they say. Distance makes the heart grow fonder. And so, I hope he's feeling better. I have been in charge with handling his light work in this instance of doing the show on this thirsty Thursday. And so I'm gonna do my best here. He left us with some things, some content that we are now to make. He left us with the ingredients. So, Lopez, me and you are charged with making this work. All right. So, he started with the top 10 mispronounced words that make you sound dumb. Now, of course, it's always worth noting that you shouldn't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge too quickly, and especially not off of, like, one thing, per se. Yeah. But with that said, you know, there's some words that you can imagine, or some instances where someone says something, and in that instance, you know, I guess the lizard brain instantly takes you to the place of, oh, well, this person might not be all that smart.
Yeah.
So what are some of those words for you? 713-572-4610 is the number to text, because there's some words here, right? For example, word number one, frustrated. I'm just so frustrated.
You're frustrated?
Yeah. Of course, the word frustrated is but for frustrated is what's put there.
That's not one I hear a lot.
I don't think about that.
I don't either. I actually jotted down three words, and I think either two or all three of them are on his list that drive me nuts.
Oh, they drive you up the wall.
Nuts.
Okay.
And I'm with you. I don't think, oh, you're dumb. It just makes my skin crawl.
That's how you pronounce it.
I mean, that's just the way they do it.
Joseph on the YouTube says, supposedly.
Oh, yeah. Though I should have put that one down, too.
That's one of those.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. That's funny.
No, that one for sure. But the three I wrote down, the first one is mischievous. You pronounce it mischievous. It's not mischievous.
That one don't make me upset.
Yeah, it's mischievous.
Okay.
The second one I wrote down is the most common one that a lot of people makes their skin crawl. It's nuclear.
Nuclear?
It's not nuclear.
That one does. I don't know.
It's nuclear.
It's not quite annoying. It's just like it's very. It's very aware to my ear. Like my ear hears it very clearly.
You just
like,
kind of go ooh.
Yeah.
Inside. You don't necessarily do it outside.
Hey.
And then the number one that drives me crazy every time is when people say irregardless. It's not a word.
It is now.
Well, they put it in the dictionary.
Yeah. That's how the language works, though. Like that's
yeah.
So I can be a snob about some of these things, admittedly, right? I'll never run away from that.
Me too.
But I also try and operate to where I counteract that. And one of the places where I will absolutely counteract that is that, hey, man, language, we often think about a language as a fixed thing.
Mm-hmm.
Language evolves. Language changes with conversation. There's a lot of things that we're like, oh, that is the proper word that 200 years ago was absolutely not, right? Yeah. Like was absolutely outside of the realm.
It was not a word.
And
I don't think it is a word now.
No, it's a word.
Because I think when Merriam-Webster or whatever dictionary, I think their philosophy on this is like so many people are saying it wrong, we might as well put it in the dictionary.
Well, it's not even about it saying, what is wrong? Communication is about getting your point across.
Yeah.
If ultimately you look around at the community of speakers in the language and the message is getting across with this word being used this way, that is how the word is used now.
Like,
that is what it means, right? So sometimes
still wrong.
Sometimes
you're not going to change my mind on this.
Well, it's fine.
I'm not going to change my mind.
It's okay.
Some
other words given to us specifically. Yes.
Oh, Byron, that one got you?
Pacifically?
I used to make that mistake when I was a kid. Yeah. And when my mom corrected me and I started seeing other people say, like saying, I was like, thank goodness my mom is very big on speaking the King's English. Because going around saying pacifically is crazy. I'm happy my mom called it at an early age.
Another ones, obviously, the franchise known as Chipotle.
Yeah, everybody knows you pronounce it Chipotle.
Chipotle. people say it's Chipotle or Chipotle.
Yeah.
I've heard that as well. A quesadilla.
Okay, so that's
or a quesadilla.
That leads us down another path here, to me, anyway. If you live in Houston, Texas, and you say quesadilla, you're not even trying. Like you live in Texas, and you're saying quesadilla. You now that one I would say okay, you're slow.
Wow.
Like
so, how do you pronounce the the flaky breakfast or bread from France?
The flow, oh, croissant.
Oh, so you do? You're like, oh, the language of origin. I need to impart that. It's a that inflection.
Okay. No, I'm talking about Mexican food. Like people who say quesadilla, you're not trying. Queso or something like that. It's queso. If you don't know that by now, and you've been in Houston for more than a year, maybe 6 months, I got a problem with that. I got a problem. Same thing with fajitas. Fajitas. No.
You know what they want.
I do.
The sizzling.
Just try a little harder.
Oh, wow. That's fun. 346 said they had a coworker call it French benefits instead of fringe benefits. That's fun.
That's good.
That's spicy. I like
those French benefits.
Anything that starts with ES that's like X-scape.
Oh, yeah.
Espresso.
Oh, I was just going to say, people say espresso.
And then my personal favorite is the library.
The library. Well, anybody
shout out
over
to 832.
Anybody over 8 that says library, that's a big issue as well.
Some other ones that came. All right, so this one legitimately actually does annoy me a little bit, and I have to tell myself, Reginald, don't be a jerk. When people say it's a mute point.
Oh God, yes, yes,
yeah.
And then, now we're getting into the weeds because
we are getting into
because
the
some of these are very much not. It shouldn't matter that much, but when people say. They're not want for something. It's want. It's O. It's W-O-N-T.
As I am want to do?
As I am want to do. Not I, as I am want to do.
Someone said nip it in the butt. That's funny. Conversate. Conversate is one of those that I think it's becoming a word in and of itself as opposed to converse.
Mm-hmm.
That is
kind of a recent thing.
Yeah, we're seeing the language shift there.
We're conversating.
Ambulance is funny because I just said it that way, right? I guess it's ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who at one point called it an ambulance, and I've never been able to call it anything different.
With a CH?
Yes, yes, the ambulance.
281 says, mother-in-law's from Beaumont. We tried for years to get her to pronounce queso correctly. She gave up and now calls it cheese sauce. Give me some of that. Give me some of that cheese sauce. Hey, that's better.
Cheese sauce. Oh, well, you might get some stuff that you don't necessarily want. Give me some queso blanco. Is that? Hey,
talking.
You're not getting queso blanco if you ask for cheese sauce, yes. I believe. All right, so let's keep moving on mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the other side of this is, what career would you avoid even for double the pay? And like, obviously, look, work is work, and there's a value in all of it, right? There's mm-hmm. there's some dignity in all of it. However, there's some times where you just say, I ain't doing that.
Window
right?
cleaner.
Oh, yes. That's a great answer.
Window cleaner.
Right? So
you couldn't. I mean, you could triple my salary. Nope. I am not going to clean those
Do you
windows.
Have a fear of heights?
I really don't, but that just seems so ominous. Like, I go up buildings, obviously no real fear of heights and, towers and all that stuff. I go look out the window. But something about hanging on the side of a building. I mean, it's just held up there with a wire, That's the first one that popped into my mind.
So, yeah, what Figgy has here for us is that many people claim they'd do anything to bring home more bacon, but not all of them would, like, switch careers to be a pig butcher, right? Like, just so, like, the idea of, going and actually getting it out the mud in some ways, maybe literally.
And then butchering.
Not there for you. Because there's apparently a new survey on undesirable jobs that people will avoid, even with double pay. And here are some of the popular answers. Number one. meatpacking plant worker.
That's a tough one.
I mean, during the COVID time, we learned a lot.
Yes, we did.
We learned a lot about what them people go through. We talk about the essential workers and the people that keep this thing moving. Man, those meatpacking plants, the environments, the work environment is not one that I would step into for six, maybe seven figures.
And it's ugly, it's dirty.
So shout out to the people that make that happen, man. Yes. I have a great appreciation for those folks. From the 281, they said being a lawyer is doing homework for a living. That's fair. Mm-hmm. Like the job, people don't think about, well, maybe they do. I don't know how much people think about the idea of being a lawyer and how much reading that entails.
Every day.
So much reading.
Every day. A lot of it.
Changing the light bulb on the top of an antenna tower comes in from the 832. Yeah, that's...
I never even thought of that. Somebody has to do that.
Somebody got to go up and do that, man. Somebody's or those light bulbs on the highway, too. Yeah. Like going up. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Y'all somebody's got to do that.
Like, I got to... I don't know. Yeah, fear heights. I'll go ahead and say that. So, yeah, that's not going to be one I do. How about this? Commercial fishermen.
I know a lot. You obviously, you know, with what I do and like to do, and I'm always on the water. I know a lot of commercial fishermen. It's a horrible job. It sounds cool. Hey, I'm going
to
be a...
You get to fish for work.
I'm going
to
be a shrimper. I'm going to be a this or that. It is 16, 18-hour days. It is dirty. It is stinky. The conditions... I mean, you have to go out every day. See, I go fishing. The weather's not looking so good. I think I'm going to stay here and do something else. No. You go out every day. You know, 15-foot waves, all this other stuff. And the other thing about commercial... Every commercial fisherman I know or have known... They've had a fish smell their entire life. You can't get rid of it. That fishy smell that just haunts you.
So apparently commercial fishermen is least desirable in Bama, Alaska, Florida, Maine, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Mm-hmm. On the text line, 832, roofing during the summer in Houston.
Ooh, I've done that.
Oh, yeah.
I've done it.
Shout out to all them roofers, man.
I only did it one summer.
That is some tough work. Least desired in Arizona, Arkansas, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Utah, and West Virginia. Mm. Funny enough. But,
has anyone said plumber?
Plumber has not come up just yet. I think plumbing is pretty good work if you can get
it's pretty
actually.
Well paying, I know.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of these things, which is why actually one of these that comes up on here, you mentioned skyscraper window cleaner. Mm-hmm. That comes up here as well. Least undesirable job in Connecticut, Maryland, Jersey, New York, of course, Tennessee and Washington. But electrician comes on here. And mm-hmm. I was like,
that's a shocking one.
Okay.
I see what you did there.
All right. Okay,
I didn't mean it like that. I didn't even think of that.
Whatever, man. I don't believe you. I do not believe you. But yeah, electrician, and maybe this is one of those things where I'm just not, I don't have the full breadth of what the work is, but I know they get paid fairly well, and like there's a lot of knowledge that's involved. I guess there's like the risk of like electrocuting yourself or some sorts, but it feels like that could work pretty easily.
There's electrician, well, and then there's the one that it's more specific, power line worker.
See, that's split up differently.
No,
Peter.
Thank you.
And
no,
yeah,
thank
you. No. And
power
it's not
lines
just,
are... They'll kill you.
Yeah, and it's not just that, right? It's especially with all of the...
And the heights.
With all the natural disasters that we're getting now and seeing like also some of the strenuous work environments that you can be put under.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are going up in a different way where I'm like, hey, you're getting more money, but I also feel like you're in a different place. Like you're asking for a whole different level of work now, even for the money that you're getting, which brought me to one of the ones that I immediately think of always.
Mm-hmm.
Oil rig workers.
That is... we have a lot that listen to our show. Give me the, correct me here, but I think it's 1 week on, 2 weeks off, something like that.
That sounds about right.
Or 2 weeks on, 1 week off, and you are out there, and you are alone, and you're doing some very dirty, very hard, very dangerous work. That is absolutely on the list.
I almost chose that career path, actually.
Really? Yeah.
There was a point I didn't want to do college anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, but then when I saw like the type of injuries that they can get.
Oh, fingers,
arms. I was like, oh, no, thank you. Yeah. So I went to my mom and I said, yeah, I'm going back to work.
I'm going back to college.
Yeah.
I'm going back to college.
Just like that.
And not surprising at all, this is where Texas falls when it comes to it. This is the highest, highly under...
the most undesirable
career path in Texas, along with California, Louisiana, and New Mexico.
Oil rig worker.
Oil rig worker.
Yeah, there's one more on here that you don't think it... You think it's like old, but no, it's still very common, especially in the mountain regions, Tennessee, Kentucky, Wyoming, coal miner.
Yeah, getting the black lung.
Yeah, the coal miner, if you go down that career path, it's one of those careers that is eventually going to kill you. It might kill you with a collapse and you die immediately, or it might kill you with black lung, but it's going to kill you. Coal mine workers, your job is going to kill you at some point.
It's a matter of when.
Yeah, it's just a matter of when.
Some other ones that came in here, logger, least popular in Montana, North Dakota, and Vermont. We mentioned power line worker, steel worker, in Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And interestingly enough, security officer. I guess Rhode Island must be living good. They're like, I don't want to work security. Word?
We have one of our oil rig workers weighing in. He says it's 14 on, 14 off. Land is different. Offshore, they do 14 and 14. I guess land is 14 and 7, whatever. But that's tough, tough work.
Some other ones that folks threw up here, furniture mover, just movers in general, man. Mm-hmm. Movers, that's some backbreaking work, and sometimes for not enough. Some other things, waste management. Yeah, shout out to them folks. Honestly,
it's got a little easier, hasn't it? I'm not trying to downplay.
In what way?
With the machines now. You know, you got the big cans. And yeah, you still got to throw some stuff around.
Yeah, the only thing about that is with the machines, it gives companies more leeway to be like, hey, you don't need as many people.
But they still have guys on the backs of the trucks like to pick up little stuff or big stuff or whatever.
Maybe if you work in sanitation, let us know if that has indeed gotten easier or if just Lopez is underrating your job. constructing roads, absolutely. And if any indication is given by the length of time that these roads stay unconstructed, I imagine that's tough work and you just outside, right? Mm-hmm. Out there. Sewage cleaner, yep. Porta potty drainer.
Ugh.
Wouldn't do that personally. Those are the main ones that I'm seeing come in. Shout out to all the people that actually do that work, because as we're saying, I would never do it. Somebody is, and we appreciate you. And that's probably why they get paid so damn well. yes, appreciate you guys hanging out with this door-to-door sales. Yeah, see, I personally couldn't do it, but there's some people that are so good at sales that, yeah, they can knock that out the park.
A lot of people, it's a passion. I couldn't do it. You and I are both, you know, out, you know, we're outgoing. It's just the concept.
I'm not. It's a facade.
Yeah, it's just the concept of that.
You know? I play outgoing well. and then this one, actually, this one is one that is underrated. I'm glad this was texted in by Jimbo H-Town. Repo driver.
Oh, yeah.
The repossession man?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man. That does not sound as difficult as you might think. Oh, you just go hook up the car. It's not the car.
No.
It's what the person that wants to keep that car,
yes,
and that clearly isn't paying for it, might do in order to keep that car.
And they would. They do.
If there is one tool that is necessary for a repo driver, it is a truck with a winch. The second tool is that blammy, that steel. That is necessary.
Protect yourself.
That is 100%.
Protect yourself.
100%. And there you go. That's Figgy's mixtape for this Thursday, October 24th, right here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Get well soon, Fig. It was fun to play you for a day, but I'd like it a lot more if you were doing the segment. So get feel better. All right. Coming up next, we're getting ready to hand it off to our guys, Clint and Ron, who are at the Buffalo Wild Wings. That's off Tomball Parkway, you said?
Yes, off Tomball Parkway.
Okay, so those guys are getting themselves ready for the broadcast. We'll hand it over to them after I think we revisit some of the audio from CJ Stroud yesterday. We'll do that next. Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It's John Lopez, myself, Reginald Attula, and filling in for the day is our guy, Byron Matthews, and actually a little bit of news that we've gotten within the last break is that actually Byron... We'll be here tomorrow as well as Figgy's day-to-day status extends to tomorrow. He has been downgraded to out for Friday.
If you didn't know already, you do now, Byron.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah. Laura had texted me a little bit earlier.
Okay.
So, yeah, Figgy's downgraded to out for Friday. And so, yeah, we'll give you more updates as to when he might return. He should be eligible to return on Monday, but we'll let
you know. He's kind of the Henry Toa Toa of the show today.
Yeah, so we're
day
getting
to
a
day.
So yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow. But tomorrow it'll be the same configuration, handling in a football Friday as we head into Colts weekend. Texans looking to expand out their lead again in the AFC South and get a much needed bounce back win. What else did I need? What happened to Figgy? Figgy just ate some food that went the wrong way.
Yeah.
Food poisoning. Nothing that
stinks.
It does stink. Yeah. It's not good. And so that put me in the place of having to run Figgy's mixtape. I think we did okay.
We did okay. We'll give it another shot tomorrow.
Some of the other things that people mentioned when it came to the jobs that you don't want. 713 said, y'all forgot bounty hunter.
That's on the list.
I could see that. Dairy farmers. I just see that. Farmers
long,
in general.
Long hours.
Long hours. A lot of hard work. And then somebody said during COVID, I bet a lot of first responders and hospital workers was probably least desirable. Yeah, we lost a lot of people in those fields that were like, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, salute to all the people doing, you know, the difficult jobs to keep this thing moving in a way that that is worthwhile and works for all of us. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, before we hand it off to the fellas in the drive, I wanted to circle back to some of these CJ Stroud audio cuts from yesterday, because there was, I thought there were some interesting things that I wanted to get to, including with CJ Stroud. Obviously, he ends up being a guy that, as a young guy, but mm-hmm. as like a relatively mature guy, he's real supportive of these guys, man. Yeah. He's always in a place where it feels like he's protecting them, at least for us, like for our benefits. But he was asked, and this is a cut five here from CJ Byron. He was asked, how comfortable are you with holding others accountable?
Yeah, I mean, I know the personalities of my guys. You know, it's been my second year with them, and I know, you know, it's a little different than I'm used to. You know, this is a older O-line, except for really Juice and Ken. You know, so really, I mean, for me, the message is just being honest with them and, you know, being heartfelt. You know, I've been on teams before where, I've had to, you know, scream and yell, and, you know, like, and that's a way you can get to a player as well. But, you know, for this team, you know, it's really just, you know, they understand. They played a lot of meaningful ball before, and that's for Ken and Juice, and then for the rest of the older guys as well. You know, they understand, you know, we got to be better, but, you know, I don't believe in, you know, beating somebody down, because when I throw a pick, you know, they uplift me, you know, so I understand that, you know, we all want to be better, but, you know, it's a way to do that.
Yeah, and none of this is a surprise to the linemen. You know, he just alluded to that. They know. You know, they're reminded by coaches when they watch tape. So it doesn't necessarily mean, like, CJ's got to get them going. I think he's being completely sincere there. He said, I'm just going to, you know, as much as he may want to say, come on, you know, he's not going to do that.
Yeah, I don't doubt that either. Yeah. It's just interesting. I thought it was a good question, especially when in a week where you see him throw his helmet in frustration on the sideline, probably because the offensive line isn't doing a great job of protecting him. And he's feeling the, you know, the pressure of that literally and figuratively. Mm-hmm. Right. I do wonder if this was a thought. It's just like, how does he handle that? How does he kind of how that communication happened? And I thought it was a really mature answer, which is not out of the realm. But it was interesting, like, to hear, hey, man, he's had to have those yelling matches. And I do wonder if at any time that becomes necessary. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully you see a level of progress to where we don't have to worry about him, you know, kind of confronting any.
I mean, he may have, you know, and only because I think he's smart enough, and he alluded to this as well. Like, each lineman, each of his teammates, for that matter, but certainly each offensive lineman, they respond in different ways, you know, to what buttons you push. So maybe he has in some cases. He kind of mentioned that.
So speaking of offensive linemen, there's a very particular one. And one of the conversations that we had yesterday based mm-hmm. off of a CFL center who was talking about all the things that you have to do diagnosing the defense and setting your protections before the play. I've been kind of wondering about quarterback, center, and mm-hmm. how they are setting protections and what is involved there. CJ Stroud was asked about, you know, how he and Juice Scruggs can get on the same page when it comes to identifying the defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I feel like for me, that's a responsibility that I want to, you know, help with is, you know, helping Juice and, you know, helping those guys up front. And, you know, I really watch a lot of film to try to pick those things up. And honestly, we're always more times than not in the right looks. It's just we got to execute. And that's the main thing is the execution. You know, it really breeds confidence and it breeds wins. So, you know, the more we can just execute those looks that we get, because I mean, we see him in practice, but we just got to be able to, you know, do it on Sundays. And, you know, once I think we do that, you know, we'll be able to see, you know, just our offense flourish some more.
This, to me, was one of his more interesting answers. And in the sense of what he said is, like, more often than not, we're right. We do get the job done. It's just a matter of executing. And I referenced it at the start of the show. Executing means they're not making the blocks they need to block. They're seeing the right things. They know where they need to go. They're just not getting it done. And so that to me was a very interesting one, because it also speaks to what D'Amico said, and we're not going to hear that right now necessarily, but what D'Amico said about, in one breath, he said it's about communication and getting better communication. But in the next, he said pretty much the same thing you just heard from CJ Stroud. He said it's still a matter of just blocking the guy in front of you. So I don't know how, you know, when as much as we've heard communication, I don't know if that's the biggest issue. In fact, I don't think it is.
Well, there's sometimes that I do wonder how much I think it's part of it. It feels like there's not one thing individually. Like someone texted in and was like, does it feel like it's personnel or something else? I might have been execution or whatever. And I feel like it's a little bit of everything. Because it feels like there's different reasons why it ultimately is wrong at points. This offensive line, the pass protection, the plot, run blocking, all of those things. It feels like there's a reason. There's a different reasons here and there. And I do wonder if it's that kind of operates as a good and a bad, where the bad being like you have a lot of different, you know, issues. It's not just, hey, this is the one thing that we need to address and everything's fine. But I think the good is I don't know that you need to address every single one of them to be good enough. Right. Obviously, you address every single one of those and you put yourself in a lot better place. But I wonder if just figure out one of those and decide this is the one that we're going to address and see how much better you get in that regard. And I wonder if, like, hey, like thinking about personnel, right?
Yeah.
If you, let's say that Kenyon Green is the big issue. I think that that might be a little simple, but okay, when it comes to personnel, you find a way to have Green on off the field, as whether it's like moving Titus Howard to left guard, bringing Blake Fisher up.
Yeah.
And you have less of those individual, you know, lapses. And maybe
because
just maybe,
the lapse might affect the execution.
And sometimes the lapse might then lead to another player feeling like they need to cover up, even if they don't have the capability to have to cover up for someone and do their responsibility. Maybe then you have a level of confidence across the board where everybody knows they're going to do what they're supposed to do, and you see that get better. I don't know, but I think that that's a possibility within that. Let's welcome in our fellas out at the Buffalo Wild Wings at Willowbrook Plaza. It's Ron, it's Clint, it's The Drive. Fellas, how's it looking out there?